of the challenges of God's Word is that the Word of God should not be new to us. I hope you know God's Word. Because the Word of God should not be new to us, but it should always be understood and heard in a new way. Some new insight, something we catch that we never heard before. That's why with Gospels like this, it's important for us to be all the more attentive. Because I could start that story and most of you couldn't finish it, right? And that's a good thing, but it's also the dangerous thing. With that in mind, let's look at this gospel in a few stages by focusing on the three individuals. I want to title this message, A Father, or There Was a Man Who Had Two Sons. So we've got a father, one father, notice, one father, unites two sons. And they're both very different, but he loves them both. Now don't miss that. He loves both of his sons. Now, his sons are very different, but they're also very similar, as we'll see. Now, most of us, when we think of the story of the prodigal son, think about the first son. We focus on that son. Even the way we title the parable, The Prodigal Son. By the way, that's not in the Bible, right? The title is not The Parable of the Prodigal Son. That's our title. And we tend to focus on the first son. And that's all right, but that really isn't Jesus' focus. Because the first son has his sins, but finds his way back to the Father. The real focus for Jesus is on the Father and on the second son. Because remember, this parable is addressed to the scribes and the Pharisees. Those who were the religiously observant, outwardly very obedient to God's law. But the problem was in the heart. The problem was on the inside. And the problem is more subtle. But because it's more subtle, it's more deadly. So Jesus puts his focus on that second son and how the Father deals with it. So let's get there. First of all, we're familiar with the first son and his struggle. It's very obvious. It's very out in the open. We'll call him the renegade son. The renegade son. In effect, he comes to his father and he says, "Old man, you ain't dying fast enough. I want your stuff, but I don't want you. Now drop dead. Or if you won't drop dead, give me my stuff. And I'm out of here." Hello?
Amen.
It's a little bit of a reworking of the text, but it's the main point. Now, I want you to notice that. He wants his father's things, but he doesn't want his father. Now, pay attention to that. Because you're going to see the second son has that very same problem. We'll see that in a moment. This is one of our human problems. A lot of us want blessings from God, but we don't want God. God, give me the stuff, deliver the goods, but otherwise, stay out of my life and keep your distance. I want your blessings. I don't know if I want to be in a relationship with you, because relationships are hard, and you might ask me to do something. Hello. Got the point? So this young son says, the renegade son, "Drop dead, Dad. I don't want you in my life. I want your stuff, but I don't want you." Now, we're going to look at the father in a minute, but an unthinkable thing for a son to speak to his father in this way, especially at that time and in that culture. Now, let's be honest. We live in a culture that is not marked by reverence for elders or reverence for parents. We live in a culture that almost celebrates youthful rebellion, young people being bold toward adults. Now, if that's one extreme, and it is, that's our culture, This culture was at the other end of the spectrum. And even to this day, in many parts of the Middle East, if a son or a daughter disgraces the family or disgraces their parents, especially the father, that father will often kill the child. You've heard of these so-called honor killings. Now, they're not as frequent as they used to be, but they do happen. And although it's against the law in most Middle Eastern countries, folks tend to look the other way. When a father gets it in his mind that he's going to kill a son or a daughter because they've dishonored him or the family, most people look the other way. And that's extreme. That's the culture in which this son upbraids his father. He's risking the death penalty talking like this. Are you praying with me? Amen. This is a rebellious and a renegade son. He upbraids his father. And the father in that culture, in that time, would have said, for speaking to me like this, I can exile you or even have you put to death. All the people of that town would have risen up together with the father and stoned that young man for speaking in this manner to his father. So I'm just trying to show you, this is an angry and a rebellious son. But the incredible thing is that the father doesn't do any of those things and even gives the son the inheritance and lets him go. The church, what's stunning about this is that people listening to Jesus telling this parable would have been shocked at this development in the story. No ancient father would have done that. And yet he does. Why? Jesus is saying, do you understand? This is how my father is with you? Now listen, let's be honest, church. Every one of us in our own way has told God, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. Drop dead, old man. Now, you might not have said it in exactly those words, but all of us have been the renegade son. You might as well just say amen.
Amen.
And God could crush us like a bug, but he doesn't. Not only that, but even in our rebellion and in our sinfulness and our sinful misuse of his gifts, he continues to bestow gifts on us. Are you praying with me?
Amen.
Lord, I've gotten out of line so many times, but you still keep blessing me. You still keep, Lord, I've sinned, but you're still calling my name. Oh, church, remember, God is good. Now, back to the renegade son for one more moment. This parable does not make light of sin. One way to get in very fast trouble is to say, I don't want God in my life. I don't want my father in my life. I'm going off to live in a distant land. And that's what he does. He goes and lives in a distant country from the kingdom of God. I'm going to just tell you right now, that's a good way to get in trouble real fast. And this young man falls so low that he ends up looking up to pigs. I said he sunk so low. He's saying, man, those pigs live well. He longed to eat the mash that the pigs eat. Oh, that I could just put my head in the trough that the pigs eat from. Now that's mighty low, amen? This parable does not make light of sin. Jesus tells what sin does. This young man becomes debased, debauched, and dead in his sins. All right, are you praying with the church?
Amen.
So, we've seen his condition. But thanks be to God. And an almost unheard of thing, he comes to his senses at last and says, I'm going back. I'm going to rise and go back to my father. Now listen, church, that word rise is important. It's the same word that's used of Jesus rising from the dead. I will rise and go back to my father. St. Paul says, you and I, because we're all been the renegade son, we were dead in our sins. That's what sin does to us. We become debased, debauched, and dead in our sins. But this young man finally comes to his senses and says, you know what? I got to go back to my daddy. I got to go back to my father. And his healing begins. We're all moved by that conversion. We pray that's our story. Amen?
Amen.
But this story goes on because a man had two sons. But let's focus now on the father for a moment. The son is returning to the father. And the text says of the father, while the son was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. Which means what? He's looking for him.
Yeah.
Now listen, come on, church. In the human condition, if you've been dishonored by somebody, disrespected, hurt, what are you and I going to tend to do? Never darken my door again. Away with you. We're finished. We wouldn't be looking for somebody who'd hurt us. Thanks be to God that I'm not God and you're not God. Amen. God never stops looking and longing and searching for you and me. No matter how bold we've been, how sinful, how debased and debauched and dead in our sin, God just keeps looking and calling. Lord, I've sinned. You're still calling my name. It's all right in Lent to say hallelujah.
Yeah.
Father's looking. And it says, sees him, and he starts running. He starts running. Church, if you take one step, God will take two.
Amen.
In fact, he'll just start running. All right. Are you praying with me? Jesus is saying, this is who my Father is. If you think he's some despot up in heaven waiting to keep you out and confront you and yell at you, listen. All you got to do is turn back to him and he comes running. Amen. Good news. You see, we get it wrong. Maybe we got our own struggle with our earthly father. Maybe we got father or male authority images going on in our mind. But Jesus is saying, pay attention. My Father loves you. He wants you to be with him, close to his heart. You take one step, he takes two and starts running. My Father. Now listen, there's a couple of details about the Father that even reinforce this image. Because running was something that no ancient patriarch would ever do. Patriarchs didn't run. You waited for the patriarch. Running implied one of two things in ancient culture. You know, we got all these folks out here running today. Running. But in the ancient world, that wasn't. It implied one of two things. Either you were running because you committed a crime or were in flight, or you were a slave on an errand, stepping and fetching. Nobleman did not run, he was undignified. And not only was it undignified, but it was also undignified because in order to run, they wore long garments like I'm wearing. And you can't run with a long garment on. It all gets twisted up and you trip and fall. So what you got to do if you're going to run is you got to gird your loins. You got to pull up the vestment and tie it tight. You expose your legs. Hello?
Amen.
Now, again, in America, we are so casual. We just walk around in shorts. Heck, we'll practically go out to a fine restaurant in shorts. That's a new thing, and that's an American thing. In fact, even today in most parts of the world, you don't wear shorts except around the house. You don't go out in shorts. It's an embarrassing thing to bare your legs in public. That's what most of the world, even to this day, still has. But in ancient culture, to bare your legs was considered a humiliation. Only slaves and workers did that when they were working. So again, to bare your legs, and I can promise you if I were to bare my leg, that is still disgraceful. So here's a father, a nobleman, who's running something no patriarch would do. He's losing his dignity to go to his son. Hello?
Amen.
You see this portrait of the father? Wow. A man who loves his son and loves him so much that he's willing to set aside his dignity to get his son back. Hello? That's what my father's like, says the Lord. Now to God be all the honor and all the glory. But God says, I'll set all that aside if I can get you back into my house. Just come to me. So again, see the father? He runs and kisses his son. Would you run to somebody who hurt you like that? Mm-hmm. Would you embrace them? He puts the robe on him, which is a sign of you're in my family now. Puts the ring back on his finger. Again, a sign of you're in my family. This is reconciliation. This is restoration. And he shouts out, time to have a party. My son was lost and has been found. He was dead and has come back to life. And the party began. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 others who have no need. Now, I don't know who those 99 are, but you see what the Lord's saying. I want you to know how happy and joyful I am every time you go to confession. Every time you get on your knees and say, have mercy on me, a sinner. The angels, we have a blue party up here in your honor. Okay. Now, I got to move on. As long as usual, I'm going too long. But you see the Father? So we've got a renegade son, and we've got a rejoicing father. All right? So we've got two of the three done. I just want you to notice again. You see this beautiful portrait of the son and the father. But we come now to the third one, the renegade son and the rejoicing father, but now to the resentful son. His problems are more subtle. Outwardly, he's obedient. He follows his father's, quote, orders. And he doesn't leave the property. He does his job, and it would seem everything is in order. But as this story of the second son opens up, you notice that everybody else, even the slaves of the household, know about the party and are in the party, except this son. He doesn't know a thing about it, and he hears a party going on. Now, what does that tell you about him? It tells you that he's distant from his father. Oh, maybe he's just off on the property, Father Pope there. He was just off on the other end of the property. Listen, everybody in the household knew about this party except this son. It tells you that he's distant from the heart of his father. He's struggling. Not only that, but he's estranged from his brother. In fact, he doesn't even call him his brother. He says, this son of yours. The father will have to correct him. No, your brother. Pay attention. So you see, in his heart, outwardly he's obedient, but in his heart we already see there's problems. He's distant from the father. And his father here, and he refuses now to come into the party. So his father's heart and his heart are not in the same place. His father is having a celebration. He is saying, I will have none of it. So, his father's heart and his are in different places. Be careful, church. Don't let your heart be in a different place than the father's heart. It's not a good place to be. So he's distant. He's disconnected from his father. And not only that, but now he's sullen and angry. Notice this, though, again. Look at the father again for a moment with me. The father hears, one of my sons isn't in the party. Isn't in the feast. He runs out. Now listen, church, again, in the ancient world, no patriarch ran out. He would send servants and say, command this son of mine to get in here or else. That's what an ancient patriarch would do. But this father personally comes out and pleads with his son. No ancient patriarch pleaded with a son. Every ancient patriarch said, you will do as I say or else. Now, again, look at the portrait of this father. He is willing to come out. He loves his son. His son is now being insolent in his face, refusing to enter the feast. But his father loves him. Don't miss that point. His father loves him and comes out and pleads, come into the feast. The whole point is to come into the feast. Now listen. Listen to the way this son speaks of his father, because it tells you a lot of how he understands his father. He says, look, he says, all these years I have never disobeyed one of your orders, but I have slaved for you. What does that tell you about his heart and his father? Does that sound like a son who loves his father? If daddy wants it, I want it. If daddy doesn't want it, I don't want it. I love my father. All the blessings he's given me, thank you, Father. You've given me life, you've given me land and property, you've given me love and shelter. I'm so grateful. Whatever you want, I want. That is not where this son is. I have slaved for you. I never disobeyed one of your orders. Okay, now careful. Some folks do think of God that way. I'm up here, I'm following your commands, I'm checking off the God box, trying to keep you under control. I'm going to do this, so you got to do that. A lot of folks live like that with God. That's their thinking. I got to avoid your punishment, so I'll keep your commandments. Darn it. Now, the Lord is talking about a son who's got some problems. But again, he's talking about possibly about us if we're not careful. So you see, this son has real problems. And then comes the problem that discloses how he and his other brother are actually very much alike. He says, all these years I've done all that and you never even gave me a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Now you kill the fatted calf for this son of yours. All right. Church, what is he saying? I want the goodies. I want the stuff. But I don't want you. I don't want to be in your party. I don't want anything to do with you. All I want. I did what you said, and you owe me certain things. Give them to me, but I don't want you. I want the stuff, but I don't want you. He says, son, everything I have is yours. But that's not the point in life. The point is to come into the feast and be with me. All my stuff. Who cares about my stuff? Don't you want me? I want you. Pay attention, church. He sees that the goal in his life is to get a kid goat and celebrate with his friends. Church, the goal in life is not to celebrate with your friends. The goal in life is to celebrate with the Father. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you'll find your friends there too if you're with the Father. But you see the point. The goal is not, I want my stuff, and I want it here, and I want it on my terms. I want the house, I want the car, I want the friends, I want the good health. But I don't really want you, and I don't want your feast. You've missed the whole point. The point is to go home into the feast and be with Daddy God forever.
Amen.
You hear how some people describe heaven as golf courses, playing cards, being with my family, being with my friends. And almost nobody mentions God when they talk about heaven. It's amazing. Church, the heart of heaven is to be with the Father. That's the goal in life. So you see, the two sons are kind of alike. The first son said, Daddy, I don't want you, but I do want your stuff. Give me the stuff and drop dead. Son one. Son two, my goal in life was to celebrate with my friends. You've deprived me of that. Away with you. I want my kid goat. I want to celebrate with my friends. Away with you. I'm not coming into your party. I don't want your feast. I don't want you. My heart and your heart are in different places. I ain't going. Very similar to his brother, isn't it? By the way, have you ever noticed in life that you most hate in other people? It's kind of mostly true about you. Careful. Pretty commonly observed human notion. You find somebody who annoys you, If you do a little bit of work and think through it, you're going to find out you're a lot more like them than you'd like to admit. Well, I got to wrap it up. Church, pray with me now. The Father loves this second son. Insolent though he has, up until now, he's looked like he's obedient, he's doing the things. But deep down in his heart, there's some pretty ugly stuff going on. But this Father loves this son. Whatever's going on in your life right now, whether you're like the first son or the second son or a combination of both of them, I want you to know something. Daddy God, Abba, loves you. And he's pleading with you and with me, saying, listen, let's be reconciled. Enter the feast with me. See that the goal of your life is to come into the feast and celebrate with me. That's my goal for you. That's what I want for you. And I pray it's what you want for yourself. But right now, the Father is pleading. Come on in before it's finally time to close and lock the door. But get on in while the getting's good. But enter the feast. Now, the parable is left unfinished. Did you notice that? The story just, Deacon, you didn't finish the story. Did the son enter or not? I don't know, Father. Let me look it up in my Bible. It's got to say it there somewhere. It doesn't. The parable just ends. Why? Because you got to finish it, and I've got to finish it. This is about you. It's about me. The Father is pleading right now. Do you love me? I love you. Will you enter my feast? I know there's stuff going on in your heart. I know sometimes you're distant from me. I know sometimes you struggle and you feel like you're slaving for me and keeping rules. Please understand, I love you. I want to save you and I want to be with you forever. But right now, the Father's pleading. Will you come into the feast? Or will you stay outside saying, I want your stuff, but I don't want you. I want things on my terms, but I don't want to be with your heart. And I see some of those folks that are in that feast, and I don't want to be any part of them. Father had to rebuke the son. Say, when he said, this son of yours, he says, your brother was lost and was found, was dead and has come back to life. Not this son of yours, your brother, your sister. Yeah, some folks who've hurt you, some folks who've been your enemies, are inside in that feast with the Father. Will you stand outside and be sullen? Will you go in and rejoice with the Father and be reconciled to your brother, your sister? The Father's asking right now. He wants an answer. A lot of you have answered yes this morning because you're in the feast. But you know, we got to keep saying yes to the Father. But I ask you now again, finish this parable. The Father wants to know, will you enter the feast and be with me? Answer him. Answer him now. There was a man who had two sons, and he loved them both. One found his way back into the feast, the other standing outside. The Father wants to know. Answer him now. Amen.
Amen.